You're with Pete, Matt and Kimber for Living Online, taking your digital marketing to the next level.
The video's gone viral today, of course, of our mate Hamish Blake. Yes. And he's been busy. He's been on the phone overnight trying to spin his way into WA for the grand final.
Got a bit of an interesting one. I need to tell Mark McGowan a secret. No, that's okay. I'm not asking to be put through to him now. I actually need to tell him the secret in person. Well, no, and I do understand he's very busy. That's why I thought he probably won't have time in the next week or two, and neither do I really. I am going to be in town on the night of Saturday the 25th, though. I could see him then in person. Where will he be? He'll be at the AFL Grand Final. That could work. I could absolutely tell him in there, and that's, in fact, the only window I have.
That was a good laugh last night. But, look, he wouldn't be the first person trying it on to get into somewhere.
Oh, man, I've got a great story. A friend of mine wanted to go to the famous La Scala Opera in Milan, right? And she's quite a lot of chutzpah. Mm. So she went there, dressed to the nines, and waited for it to start, and then burst out of a toilet crying. And all of the staff came up to her, all these beautiful Italian boys who saw this beautiful woman crying, and she can speak Italian. And she basically said, "I'm sorry, I've just had a fight with my husband, and I want to see this show so much." And they took her and put her in the royal box.
No!
With a bottle of champagne, and she blagged her way in like that. Isn't
brilliant.
That cool?
I mean, sometimes that's the thing. You hear those stories, and you're like, oh, I kind of am glad they got away with it.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of want
if
people
no one's getting hurt.
If it's not hurting anybody and it's no, then like, oh, good luck.
Yeah. And also, I had no idea you could speak Italian so well.
He's not allowed to speak Italian on this show. We've covered this
many times. No, never again.
We'd like to hear how you've tried it on to get into somewhere.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've whether it's been a big show that you couldn't get tickets to or something like that, you know, and you've managed to
laid
it on really thick and you've managed to get past them, and you've gotten yourself in there.
Matthew and Baldivis, what have you been spinning?
Well, basically, a few years ago now, my family and I went to Dubai. We stayed at the Jumeirah Beach Hotel, which is right next to the Burj Al Arab, as you know, is the 7-star hotel.
Okay, yes.
So we left our son in the hotel room, and we thought we'd go over and have a look and, you know, see what it's like. And went inside, it's amazing. And we thought, oh, we'll go up and have a look at the Sky Bar. So we went up to the Sky Bar and they said, oh, no, you can't get in unless you have a reservation. Unless you're staying here, you can't get in.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, no, I've definitely got a reservation. We booked it months and months ago, obviously. And they said, oh, well, we can't find your name here. I said, oh, well, it must be there. It's got to be there. And in the end, they let us in, which I couldn't believe. We spent the whole night in the Sky Bar. We made up a cocktail with the barman there, which the head barman approved, and it goes in a book, which they actually still have there to this day. But we got that drunk. I can't remember the name of the cocktail. I know it had March in it somewhere because it was my wife's birthday. So we stayed the whole night, spent $800. We're pretty drunk when we left. Went downstairs. Luckily, there's a golf buggy which will take you back to the Jumeirah Beach because we couldn't have walked that far anyway. Walked back into our hotel room, and our son's there with a bottle of champagne and a cake because it is his birthday. And they said, oh, they've left a birthday cake and a bottle of champagne for me, but he's only 16.
The only way that story could have been better, buddy, is if you charged the $800 to a room that you weren't actually in.
Good on you, mate.
Awesome.
Davinia in Cannington, hello.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good, mate. What yarn did you spin and where'd you get into?
Well, look, it was back in the day. I'm 42 now, so it was right back when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my mum wanted to go to the Paul McCartney concert.
Okay.
And I was doing gymnastics in New Zealand at the time, so I really had little time, and I was like, yeah, okay, mum, let's go. So anyway, we go to the Paul McCartney concert, and we were just going to sit outside the concert, out the gates, and because mum had no money. So she had these little things called bums on seats, and they were just like a little foam seat that you could put your bum on when you're sitting on the grass sort of thing.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're sitting there, and we're waiting for everyone to go through the gates, and then mum hears this person going, oh, tickets, 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 cheap tickets. She goes, I'll stay there, Davinia, don't go anywhere. And I'm like, oh, okay then. So she takes off for a few minutes, comes back in about 10 minutes or so. She goes, oh, I got a ticket. And then next thing I know, she just burst out into tears, and I'm like, well, what's wrong? She goes, I've just spent all my money and I've only got one ticket. I can't get you in. What am I going to do? And I was like, well, don't worry, Mum. I says, look, I'll get me in there. Don't worry. I'll wave to you with the bums on seats as soon as I get to that tree through the gates. Just don't worry. And my mum's sitting there going, oh. She says, don't worry, Mum. So I stand in the line and I'm waiting to go through the line and all these people are getting tickets and tickets. Anyway, I come up to the lady, she's like, tickets, please. And I grab my bums on seats and I sort of put my eyes down and I'm like, oh, I've lost my mum and my dad and I don't know where they've gone and I've lost them. And then I pointed through the gates to the tree and went, oh, there she is, there's my mum. And the lady just sort of went, oh, like this. And so I walked straight past her, went to the tree and then waved my bums on seats to my mum and she just jumped up with this big star jump going, oh, you could see how excited she was.
Genius.
And then I met her inside the gates, and that was my first concert, was Paul McCartney.
Oh, wow. Seats.
I have not heard of acting like that since Shortland Street. That was brilliant.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause.
Do you guys know what this is?
No.
It's you doing the Pokemon soundtrack as if you're a rock star.
Oh, I thought it was the track to Rocky VI.
It feels that way every single time I've played it since the 90s. Maddie!
Oh, I think I want to make a montage of you to that song.
I love this song so much. Seriously, every morning I would wake up and Pokemon would be on, and I'd watch Ash Ketchum as he'd go about his business collecting the badges from the different gym trainers from around Kyoto. Oh, not Kyoto, but whatever it was back in the day. And collecting his Pokemon.
Okay, so is that what the story is about? It's just, I mean, obviously haven't got time to tell them the whole story of Pokemon.
Definitely don't have time.
But
it's like opening the Marvel collecting Universe.
Do you want me to tell you about it?
Not really.
So I can tell you. I can tell you about the story.
Could you do it in your
own time? I mean, I know. I've
would
heard,
you guys mind having this chat like somewhere else?
Cool. I mean, basically, I've heard of Pokemon for 20 years or whatever, but I couldn't really tell you what it is.
Basically, it is one little dude who leaves home and he has to catch them all.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But it captivated us when we were kids. Cool. And now, crazily enough, 25 years on since it was first released, Pokemon cards are back at McDonald's in the Happy Meals. And I'm losing my marbles over it.
Really?
Oh, I've got your some collection.
Yeah, I'd say fired my collection back up.
How many burgers do you have to eat to fill the box?
Well, so here's the thing, right? So we went to Macca's. Every Friday night we do treat night.
Okay.
So Friday night's treat night. It's the end of the week.
And it's going to be at Macca's for the next 16 weeks.
Yeah. Well, the kids get their Happy Meals.
Yeah.
And I usually get my KFC. Except this time around, McDonald's is like, oh my God, I've got to get my Happy Meal as well, please. And we get up to the, we pull up to the little speaker box and the lady blasts through the speaker. Hey, can I take your order? Yes. And I'm sitting there. And I've seen the Pokemon cards in the Happy Meals for the first time. I didn't know that this was actually happening until we rocked up that day. And we're sitting there, and my wife will tell this story until she's blue in the face. She's in the passenger seat. The three kids are in the back. And this is how my order goes. Can I have three? I'll have three Happy Meals with the Pokemon toys, please. And she blasts back through the speaker. She's like, would you like cheeseburgers or would you like McNuggets in those Happy Meals? Yeah, I'll have three cheeseburgers and make sure we have the Pokemon toys as well, please. And then she comes back one more time and she goes, all right, so just making sure we've got your order right. You need three cheeseburger Happy Meals. Is that right? I was like, I didn't hear her say Pokemon cards. okay. Three cheeseburger Happy Meals. And are they going to come with the Pokemon cards?
Yes, like, sir. Drive to the next window, please.
Exactly.
Now, guys, at school, I was not, that wasn't the perfect student. I was okay depending on the teacher.
Okay.
So, like, if I liked my teacher, I was top of the class, really good cooperative class member, team player, helped everybody. If I didn't like the teacher, I was difficult.
Did the school accept that as a perfectly reasonable explanation?
No, and neither did my parents for some time. Yeah. Like, I reckon that was acceptable, like unacceptable until I was about 15 when my parents started to go, I think this might be the kind of person she is.
Yeah, so I was going to say, yeah.
You know, in the beginning they were like, could you stop talking back? Could you stop doing these things? And then now they've gone, okay, this is clearly who you are. If we just find the right avenue for you, yeah, I'm sure you'll
fit
in somewhere.
I'm surprised you've mellowed so much.
Look, I am a bit of a freedom fighter. I'm one of those, if I don't like things, I'll try and stand up for people. I don't like the bully in the playground.
No, you do.
And I get involved,
that's a great trait,
even when it's not me, because I don't like that stuff going on. So it seemed that whenever those problems were happening, my parents didn't find out until the parent-teacher night,
mm-hmm.
when it had already been some time had passed,
yes.
since the problem. So I guess my parents couldn't really correct anything along the way. But now, school email,
yes.
right? Now, mm. parents can contact the school at any time and say, what's going on with my kid? And the school can contact the parents at any time.
Mm.
And I saw a tweet yesterday from screenwriter Joseph Biglia, who tweeted, I'm stepping down from my job to devote myself full time to reading the emails from my kid's school.
Mm.
Is that a thing? Like, how many emails? Because I've always felt bad for the teachers. I've got teacher friends and I've been like, oh God, what do you do when these parents can contact
yes,
you
yes.
any time of day or night? They might think it's suitable to send an 8 p.m. email and then yell at my teacher friends when they haven't replied by 9 a.m. the next morning. And you're like, I'm not at work. Back off. Like, you know, it's 8 p.m. on a Thursday night.
I guess the upside is you're not having to do a face-to-face all the time.
Yeah, perhaps. Mm. But I just thought, I didn't realise it went the other way too, and that the schools are bombarding you with emails.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with us, we're not getting bombarded by emails per se, but we now have apps, right? So we've got a school check-in app where the school can communicate with us and teachers can communicate with us through that app. And whenever they drop in new information or newsletters or feedback, or maybe they've got pictures of what the kids got up to that day, so on and so forth, they actually can send it. And then we get an email notification saying, hey, so-and-so has sent this bit of detail. Wow. Here's, you know, check into your app if you want to go and have a look. I don't like the sending of the emails to the teachers. We're not the ones to do that. If we actually have an issue that needs to be brought up, we'll bring it up with the teacher when we actually speak to them.
Like go down to the school or whatever.
Go down to and actually have a chat. They're looking after your kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, but I also think too that, like, you know, that way of going, I'm going to go down to the school, means that it probably eradicates a lot of the problems because you go, I can't be bothered going down there. So it'd have to be a problem, like a real issue for you. Whereas I feel like with emails, there's too many opportunities to be like, I'm just going to make a complaint about something.
Mm, yes.
That's probably not a big deal.
No, just sort it out.
Yeah,
you
maybe.
Know, just sort it out yourself.
Mm, full-time job reading school emails. You beauty.
Let's go, you guys. It is neck and neck. I feel like I say this every single week between the two of you. Since the beginning of the year, it's either been one ahead or a dead tie. This is how You Kidding Me works. Got three different pieces of audio montages here for you both.
Yeah.
Tailor-made for this game.
Mm-hmm.
They can be made up of songs. They can be made up of moments in time. They can be made up of famous times in history or movie quotes or TV, whatever. I'm going to play them one by one. You've got to tell me the year they're from. Close to the pin, best of three wins. Are we ready?
You do it.
Let's go.
Whoa, Nelly. Calm down. Gee whiz, who brought that in here?
You're terrible, Muriel. All I want for
Christmas is you. Figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed on the back of her knee.
Oh.
94.
Oh, bang! Bang!
What made you say 94?
Well,
that was my instinct, but I'm not sure
why. I'll tell you why, and this is a bit of a telling you a story, like name dropping.
Oh, this is your old mate.
I went to NIDA with Toni Collette, and she was a year below me, and she dropped out to do Muriel's Wedding. And I remember everyone at NIDA going, oh, you fool, you're ruining your career by leaving this prestigious acting school to do this film. And, of course, she did quite well afterwards.
Mm.
But I thought it was around that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the Nancy Kerrigan thing had me thinking 94.
Mm.
I guess I can only go, I can't only go, I could either do either, couldn't I? Why don't I just say that Muriel's Wedding took a year to come out by the time she dropped out of school?
Yeah, it's a good technique.
And I'm going to go 95.
You've got it, haven't you?
Mate, you're not going to believe this, Maddie.
Oh, no, I will.
But it was 94.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was 94. Yeah. Yeah, it was 94.
That's pretty good instinct. Both of us thought that. I was like, yeah.
Very good instinct, you guys. All right, here's your second one.
He's now the first person with a video to hit the billion view milestone on YouTube. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go.
I could take you places you ain't never been before. That was a really good start.
I'm the best singer in Tasmania with teeth.
Excellent.
What was that?
That was us not knowing any of those references,
no.
Matt. I'm going to go, the last one was Pitch Perfect.
Oh.
Well done.
The one in between, I don't think I've ever heard it. And the first one, first billion views on YouTube, who would that have been? Gangnam Style?
Oh, I don't know.
Pete just gave me a look. Am I onto something there? But we're already up to like Pitch Perfect 500 at the moment.
I'm going to say 2015. I have no idea.
Oof.
Mm. No, I think we've got to go earlier than that. I don't.
Stop looking at it. Kimber gives it again, looks for clues. Yes, I don't know. And then looks at Pete's face. What are you thinking earlier?
Tell me what looks you get out of Pete's face.
A look of love.
Exactly. Yeah. It actually doesn't. If you're trying to get a question or an answer or anything, all you get is that beautiful big grin.
Yeah. Oh, look at you.
So he gives nothing away.
That is true. Yes.
look, let's go 2014.
Ooh.
Book 'em Gangnam Style.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gangnam Style. When did I don't even know if that's the. I could be way off there. It might not even be Gangnam Style that had the first billion views.
Because
It could have been Baby Shark.
It is Gangnam Style.
Is it?
It is. Certainly is. The other song in there was Boyfriend by Justin Bieber.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, babes.
2012, Kim.
Oh, that was lucky.
Oh, stays in it. Let's give you the last one.
Italian-American plumber. That was the day that Nintendo unleashed Mario Brothers in Japan.
Wow. Okay. That was Scarface, right?
Some of these are confusing because you also think they would never be in the same year together.
Yeah.
Like Scarface and Mario Brothers just doesn't link up for me.
That great Al Pacino performance in Scarface. Got to be the 80s. Early 80s, late 70s.
I'm going to go 82.
Oh, 82.
Man, that's where I'm going to go 79.
I'm really basing that on red wine.
Got to be the 80s, so you went 79.
Sorry, no, you're right. I didn't think about the UB. I didn't insert the UB40 element. Oh, look, I'm going to go 81, but I'll feel bad if I get it.
You won't. It's the biggest load of you will not. All right.
What do you reckon, Izzy? What year do you reckon?
Izzy, what year? She's gone shut.
Nothing. Yeah. That's how you get her to be quiet. You ask her a question.
Ask her a question. Yeah. God, I wish I'd known that 2.5 hours ago. It was 1983.
There you go.
Kimber steams ahead with an extra point. Well done, buddy.
That was a lucky break, that one.
Well done.
Very good.
My daughter is embracing the spectacles life.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She just got her new specs.
Yeah, so she's been doing this, like, hard blinking for a little while. I learnt a lot of things when I took her to the optometrist a couple of weeks ago. Hard blinking for a little while, and we took her in there, and it turns out she's long-sighted.
Uh-huh.
So she can see things, like, right up close and see things really far away, but somewhere in between, her eye muscles have to work really hard.
Okay.
But she was so stoked because she got to pick a pair of glasses, and we're wandering around the store, and she's got all of these glasses in front of her, and my goodness, it's like all of her Christmases have come at once, because she's pulling things off and she's putting them on, and she's like, can I try these pink ones? Yeah, I can try these pink ones. She's looking at herself in the mirror and, oh my goodness, they look so good. Okay, can I have those ones? Oh, those purple ones with the stripes going through them look amazing as well, Dada. Okay, I'm gonna put those on. And putting them on, she looks like a completely different person. Yeah, as well. She's five, she looks 20. It's amazing. But last Friday, Liz took her to go and pick them up because, of course, they have to, you know, mint the glass and everything, yes, and then it gets sorted. So they've gone to pick them up. While Liz was there, the optometrist told him a story. Yes, honey? My other daughter in the studio right now. Okay, there you go.
There we go.
She just wanted to be...
As soon as she saw the mic, straight into it.
Well, as soon as Izzy heard the story wasn't about her, she jacked up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the optometrist is telling Liz the story as they're picking him up, that it's not uncommon for kids to be dragged out of the optometrist kicking and screaming because they've hustled their parents into thinking that they need glasses. They get there, they do the eye test, don't need glasses, and absolutely lose their minds.
Isn't that interesting? And is that a change?
A glass is cool now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yes, in my day, I wouldn't have thought that.
We were the same. Mm. Even in my day, we were the same. Like, I had to get glasses and probably was quite overdue by the time I got to high school for needing glasses. Mm-hmm. But I remember as a kid going, oh, no, I don't want glasses.
Yeah. Are there influences? Are there, like, you know, the Emmas from The Wiggles and, like, those sorts of, like, are there any, like, Dora the Explorers, anything out there, anyone wearing glasses?
Well, funny you say that. Emma does wear glasses.
Ah.
Emma from, the, well, there's a Spectacles song. So in the, in the Spectacles song by The Wiggles, they all put their glasses, I've got my glasses on, he's got his glasses on, like, yeah. I
mean, and also that the design has gone to new levels, right? Glasses are quite funky now. They're
Know, I wore glasses most of my adult life, like from when I was about 18, I guess.
Mm.
And then I had laser surgery. But in the beginning, I was so used to wearing my glasses that I had a pair made up with just plano lenses in them.
Yes.
Because I felt strange without my glasses. Like, my face felt kind of naked.
There you go.
But they're not that convenient to wear.
No, like, they're not.
If you want to lay and watch a movie and you got to lay sideways on the couch, you know, the glasses dig into your head. Like, they're not that comfortable.
No, they're not. They're a pain in the backside.
Kids love them.
Yeah, well, they love them that much that they're faking needing glasses to get in there to try and get them.
Wow.
I want to hear from parents this morning as to what your kid faked to get something.
Okay.
I used to fake a cough.
Did ya?
Because I love the taste of Benadryl.
You're joking.
Oh, Benadryl is the dreamiest stuff out there. And they basically had to say to my mum, you got to stop giving her this stuff.
Wow.
She is addicted to Benadryl. Right. Love it.
Well, I mean, because I lived with my Polish grandmother, my babcia, I just had to pretend that I was sick and I'd get so much attention.
Yeah.
And she'd call my mum, Judy, Matthew's so sick. I give him egg in hole on the toast and a cup of tea.
Oh, a toad in the hole. Yes,
oh,
please.
Oh, toad in the hole.
The best.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle in Kenwick.
Hello.
What are your kids faking?
Well, one of my kids got into my face creams. It's like a warming cream, and he stuck it on his forehead. I didn't know. He left it on for about at least 10 minutes. And, let's just say his head was hot. And he was telling me he's got a cold.
Oh.
Oh.
So like a temperature.
Yeah.
Oh, so clever.
Created a fake hot face.
Yeah, I didn't realise until I found the pot.
Wow.
That's a smart kid.
Very smart
I mean, part of me feels like you should be rewarding that. That feels terrible, right?
So was it it a day off school he was after?
Oh, yeah, it was a day off school, but then didn't realise that it caused the rash on
the head. Sure, yes. Hey, there's that great bit in The Simpsons when Bart wants a day off school and he tells the cold germs to win, and then they go inside his body and he's going, sir, we're being told to let the bacteria take over.
That's right. God bless The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Lisa, you've got conspiring children into the lying.
Yeah, the two young boys, that was last year, they were 6 and 8. And I think it was the older one told the younger one to say that they were sick so they could get basically done from school. They were already at school at this stage.
Oh.
So
I got a phone call. Yeah, and I'm working, so my mum drove all the way to pick them up and took them home, and then I promptly got a phone call saying, they are not well and they will never, ever do this again.
Oh. who doesn't want a doona day every now and then, right?
Hi, Katie.
Hi, how you going?
Good, mate. Is this your son faking something?
Oh, my God. So in primary school, children do a Lexile quiz, and it just, what it does is sees where they're at with reading. So you just know how your child's performing.
Mm-hmm.
So my son was really bad, like really bad. And I said to him, you're just lazy. If you get your score up to average over a term, Mum will buy you this $400 gaming headset.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, right, challenge on. Anyway, his score went through the roof and we were like, we nearly had a party. We're so happy. We're so proud of you. Went and bought the headset. About a week later, we're watching a movie and it was Harry Potter. And he went, Mum, I need my iPad now. And I went, why? And he went, I need to do the quiz on this. And I went, have you been looking at what books have been made into movies watching the movies and doing the quiz. And he went, yeah.
Oh.
He went, he said to me, you never told me how I was to get my score up. You just told me I was to get my score up.
Oh, clever kid.
Why read the book when they've got the movie?
Yeah, and that's all he was doing. He was cross-checking what was in his age group and watching it and doing the quiz.
Oh,
I did that in year 12 with The Great Gatsby. And I got a great, I got like 86% on my essay, and I watched the film instead of reading the book. Well, it's meant to be one of the literary classics.
Paul Newman, isn't it? Or Robert Redford, I should say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great, it's a great book too, by the way.
Apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Pete, Matt and Kimber for Living Online, taking your digital marketing to the next level. Mix and